take a closer look at our reading from Exodus. But to gain a greater understanding of today's reading, we need to know a few details of events that have taken place prior. After 400 years of slavery in Egypt, God has empowered Moses to lead the people out of bondage. God's intention was to make a covenant with the Israelites to be their one true God. Their nation was to be an example to all the other nations. Other nations were to see that in trusting and obeying Yahweh, they would gain peace and prosperity. On the journey to the Promised Land thus far, God has proven his mighty love for the Israelites by performing miracles that have provided them protection, food, and water. All this in spite of their grumbling, distrustful attitude. Also during this time, Moses has already given God's commandments orally, and the Israelites have promised to obey them. This is a key point to remember when we're looking at today's reading. The Israelites made a commitment to keep God's commandments prior to what takes place in our reading today. So this leads us to today's scriptures. Moses is with God on the mountain, receiving the commandments written on stone tablets. Now, the Ten Commandments established a powerful ethical and moral bond between God and the Israelites. He is to be their only God, and they are his people. He has redeemed them from slavery and freed them from the harsh Egyptian bondage. This freedom allowed the Israelites to serve God, the God of a mighty love, full of strength, and power. God gave them a promise of protection and the gift of his presence to be with them always. The proof of these kept promises were experienced by the Israelites throughout the Exodus from Egypt. Notice that in today's reading, though, while asking for an idol, the Israelites do not speak of the Lord God or the covenant that they had promised to keep. Referring to the golden calf, they state, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." The Israelites betrayed God, and the covenant was broken. The people's rejection of God is matched by God's rejection of them. Did you notice that while he was speaking to Moses, God calls the Israelites your people? I can think of a time or two when I let my husband know of one of the naughty things that my children had done, and I'd look to him and say, "Your son did." Now, I was pretending to disown my child, but in these scriptures, God is not pretending. He has disowned this stiff-necked people as they have broken their covenant relationship with him. They chose to worship the golden calf. Therefore, as with any contract between two parties, God was released from any obligation to uphold his end of the covenant. But God desires to save, not destroy. God's desire is to offer grace, not retribution. Therefore, he allows Moses to intercede for the Israelites. There will be consequences for their sin. There always are. But God does not completely destroy the nation of Israel. So why is it so easy to mistake our idols for God? Why do we think that they can offer us our heart's desires? Idols cannot bring fulfillment and love. Deep in our souls, we know that they cannot deliver security, peace, or joy. The things that we create cannot take the place of God in our lives. They may seem more tangible, but the reality is that our idols are fickle and their promises are lies. There are so many calamities that can destroy these idols: a job loss, a downturn in the stock market, a heart attack, or cancer. The list is endless. But these catastrophes cannot destroy our God, and he will not let them destroy us if we choose to belong to him. Our idols will not lead us to the ultimate freedom in the promised land. Only God can do that. We can revel with our idols, as the Israelites did with the golden calf, but eventually we will find that to do so will only lead to the death of our souls. Some of us, including me at times, are a bit like Aaron and the Israelites in this scripture. See, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us." Aaron complied under pressure from the people. Then, seeing how excited the Israelites were, Aaron realized that what he had done was terribly wrong. His attempt to correct the situation was to build an altar in front of the idol and proclaim that tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord. The festival began with the people going through the motions of proper worship. But then they began reveling in their worship of the golden calf. Now you need to know that this party that they were having was unlike anything we would typically have in the church today. Shall we say that it was not rated PG-13 and we would not have invited our children? The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people have acted perversely." Now, I am not saying that we behaved exactly as Aaron and the Israelites did, but all of this started by trying to worship both Yahweh and an idol. We cannot have both. Trying to leads us to disaster. It causes a breach in our relationship with God and wounds our souls. Either God reigns or he does not. We have a choice to make, but having both is not an option God gives us. We must realize that human beings were not created to be godless. That is why we look for direction and purpose in life. The fact bears repeating, we were not created to be godless. This is why we seek relationship with something or someone greater than ourselves. If we do not know God at a personal level, we will make our own deities. An idol is something or someone we use in an attempt to fill the God-shaped void in our lives. These false gods seem to demand nothing from us, either spiritually or morally, so they are easy to hold on to. But in the end, they strip our lives of the relationships that are meant to bring us fulfillment. Idolatry is not simply worshiping an idol. Idolatry happens when we do not give God first place in our hearts. It may seem silly to us, this worshiping of a fake cow, but when we look at how we spend our days, at times, do we not find that we are so busy doing other things that there was no time for God? Egypt is not just a physical place. Egypt represents our bondage to anything, anyone, any activity that we treasure in our hearts more than we treasure our relationship with God. I know this. You know this as well. And yet, I find that it is not too difficult to be lured back to Egypt where there are other gods. In our culture, it is far too easy to forget what is truly meaningful. Sometimes I find it hard to serve God and follow Christ's teachings. Then I remember that as difficult as it may be to follow Christ, in the long run, following Christ will always be easier than being lost and without him. Other times I lose sight of what is most important while attending to insignificant matters. It is then that I can find myself drifting away while God remains faithful. And in his faithful love for me, he always calls me back. Listen, and you will hear him calling you as well. Psalm 16, verse 11 states, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." We are God's forgiven and restored people as a result of the new covenant Jesus Christ offers. Through his death on the cross and resurrection to eternal life, God has made a path leading us out of the wilderness. Today we are celebrating our covenant relationship with God as we come together to worship and praise him. We will join him in Holy Communion. But to truly keep our covenant with God, we need to remain in his presence always, not for just a day, always. God wanted to provide the Israelites with an abundant life. He wanted to give them more, but first they needed to learn to trust him and obey him. Our true life is in him, not anything the world has to offer. Our joy comes from him. Our peace comes from him. And even the love we give and receive comes from God. I'd like to end today by praying Psalm 23. It's found in your Book of Common Prayer on page 612. Would you please open to 612 and join me in praying Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.